Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, June 26, 2022. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, All Things Work Together. Our text comes to us from Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 through 20. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
We've been looking at the resurrection and the impact of the resurrection in our lives, and I wanted to address today other social issues, but I'm moving to something a little bit more different. We'll get to those at a later time. And Pat's leaving us for the next 3 months. Three months. So if anybody asks about her, she didn't backslide. She just went to Wisconsin. Though it wouldn't surprise me. I don't know, what do you do over there? But anyway, we'll talk later. She has a nice family with grandkids that she visits, and I want you to go spoil them all. I think you do that. I don't need to say that. You know, that's good. That's good. Grandfathers exist to spoil their grandkids. Everything that we did not do with our sons and daughters, we do with our grandkids. You know, we give them everything we said they couldn't have when they were growing. Anyway, you know how it goes. But today I want to address the issue that the resurrection enables us to face the most difficult moments in life. And life often has reversals. Life sometimes can be very difficult. And you know, I thank God for the Supreme Court's Roe overturn, and I thank God that for almost 50 years, people prayed that this would be the case, and I'm thanking God for that. And I was going to address that social issue, but I felt from the Lord not to go there. And you know, I've never politicized the pulpit, but it speaks to the morale of the country. It speaks to how we desperately need to pray for our elected officials, and how in the near future we need to engage our state, which is a, my goodness, abortion on demand. Those are big issues, and you and I as Christians and as civic responsibility, we need to get involved in that, but there will be a later time. But I wanted you to know that I know what happened, and it is an issue, and I thank God that prayers have been answered. We, as a country, we were right next to China and North Korea in the brutality of abortion. Abortion is a cruel thing, and it should only happen when the mother is in danger. There are reasons when that sometimes can happen, but it's a brutal thing. And I'm thank the Lord that now it goes to the states, and we will have to make some decisions here in California. I think we need a restart in California. But see, I didn't want to go there. Push a button. But Even in big issues in life, you know, we face reversals and difficulties. And the story of Jacob and Joseph take a very large section of the book of Genesis. And it's one of the great illustrations of Romans 8:28 that says all things work together for good to those who love God. When you look at the life of Jacob, Jacob resorted to, you know, to lying, to scheming, ways of trying to get power over others. And when he established his family, where the 12 tribes come, he inflicted pain on his own children. Jacob was not a very nice person. And he showed, you know, favor towards the youngest son. The 11 brothers were left out, and Joseph was the king, so to speak, like, and you know the story of the coat of many colors and how he honored him. And the brothers resented this very much, and they were envious of the treatment that Jacob was giving to Joseph. And something happened to Joseph. He had a distorted view of himself. Now, you may not have heard this before, but the more you look at this text, the more you understand que tenía una cabeza grande. He got a big head, you know. Because Joseph got all the perks, and so his self-view, well, he became arrogant, and his self-importance came through in different ways, like the dreams he had that everybody was going to bow to him, dreams of supremacy, and it offended even his father. You can find this in Genesis 37. So his brothers then got fed up with him. I don't know if you've had brothers or sisters, but finally they got fed up with him, and they secretly sold Joseph as a slave to Arab traders. And in turn, they sold him to Egypt, to the captain of Pharaoh's bodyguards. And as he goes into Egypt, you know the story, he was falsely accused of rape. And he became not only, you know, a slave, but then he became a prisoner. And he was in the king's dungeon for quite some time and in fear for his life. So often happens in life that we're thrown in a deep and dark place. That's where Joseph was. But in that place of despair, Joseph was changing. And I think our ability to accept change because circumstances have changed is so important for you and me as a Christian. Psalms 105, 19 and verse 22 says that the psalmist is telling the story. Says, during his imprisonment, we talk about Joseph, the word of the Lord refined Joseph. God used Joseph's circumstances. Listen. God used Joseph's circumstances to cause him to trust God. I want you to look at your circumstance, and the question for you is, are you trusting God? Somebody say, hey, that's heavy. Yeah, it's as heavy as it comes, because our circumstances are there for a purpose, to trust God. And in reality, had this not happened to Joseph, his arrogance would have destroyed his life and would have destroyed those around him as well. As he evolves in Egypt, Joseph's ability to interpret Pharaoh's dream and his ability as who he was released him from prison, and he was elevated all the way to be the prime minister of the Egyptian kingdom. He was wise enough to mount a hunger program relief program. And it saved thousands of Egyptians and from starvation, and also many people who came to Egypt for food. And you know the story. And in the process, as you continue to read the life of Joseph, you find that when he confronts his brothers in Genesis 42, they were brought to repentance, and there was reconciliation of the family. Quite a trip. And then after Jacob's death, his brothers came to Joseph because they were afraid that maybe Joseph would have a grudge against him and do away with them. I mean, we're talking big stuff here. And so our text this morning is in Genesis 50, 19 and 20. And this is how Joseph replies to his brothers who were fearful for his life, their life. It reads this way. But Joseph said to them, listen to this. Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So the scripture says that Joseph was cognizant of the fact that what he had gone through, the intention was to destroy him. His brothers wanted to destroy him. It was a deliberate attempt on the life of Joseph. Some of the circumstances we face are deliberate. This is nothing to play around with. Things happen to our lives at times that they deliberately set up to destroy us. But see, in the economy of God, those of us who have trusted in the Lord, the harm that was inflicted upon Joseph, it changed and evolved his character and made him great. See, this is why we say all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. But the things that happen to you and to me are not nice. And often they're made to destroy us. But in God's economy, in God's kingdom where you and I sit and dwell, God changes those things instead of to destroy us, to build us. So you find in many ways the resurrection of Joseph, because he saved many lives. That's what he said. It came through the death and of all of his original plans and hopes and desires, all of that died as he was sold into slavery. Everything he wanted to do, everything he hoped to do, they were destroyed. And yet God took all of that was destroyed and made him into the person that God intended for him to be from the very beginning of life. And this is the paradox of life, brothers and sisters. It is a pattern of the life of Jesus, who becomes the key to understand our life histories. Think of your history. Think of your life. And I want you to understand that God has been involved every step of the way. That in spite of what you've gone through or what you're going through, there is a God that understands, and there's a God who cares, and a God who's going to produce the fruit that was intended for you in your life. So you and I have this great resource, have this great perspective of what life is about, that it's not just one event that defines us. It's not the persecution of someone. It's not the pain of some quarters in our life. It's not the circumstance, but God, in his infinite wisdom, this is how it's believed. God is in charge of your life. It gives us perspective. We sometimes find ourselves in the valley. And when you're in the valley, you can't see things, really. You can see the mountains around you, but you can't see if you were to be on top of the mountain. And when you're in Christ, you can be at top of the mountain and see how God works things out, how God is in charge. This is an afterthought. It's after it happens. But I want to let you know that God is already working in your life. You may be in the valley, but I want you to know that all the disappointments and all the failures that you see today, and how you can be caught, how you can be caught in a snare, in a dungeon, and you don't know how in the world you're going to come out, God in his time will do it. I know. Suffering comes. Disappointment comes. It's hard to see it. It's hard to accept it. But that's the reality of life. But in Christ, we know that we are victors in all of those things. We are traumatized emotionally, of course, and mentally, and in every possible way. And we travel the span of being optimists and all the way to being pessimists. And in the world, we know the optimists in the world. They look at trouble and they say, well, you know, it's temporary. It's going to go away. It's going to be okay. It's going to turn around. And it doesn't seem to be turning around. And they say, well, if you do everything right, and, you know, everything's going to be okay. And you can, you know, how does the song go? Hoping and wishing and hoping. Aren't you glad I don't sing? Hoping and wishing. Perhaps. Yeah. And then you have the pessimists in life. And they say, you know, the world is a horrible place. It's a bleak place. And they say life is pain. And you trust people, people will stab you in the back. People are bad. Don't trust anybody. You cannot trust anybody. Problems and suffering and misery, that's what life is all about. Yes, without the gospel. But with the gospel, things change. How do they change? In perspective. Because you see, Joseph was able to understand that true, there are miserable moments in life, but he also understood that there was a God who was good. And we must look at life in the totality and say, yes, rough spots in life, but God is also good. Because though it's partially right that there's good and there's bad, there's a fundamental flaw for the world. But for you and for us, for me, it's not a flaw. For us, we understand that Christ is the center and the cornerstone and the guidance in our lives. See, humanity strayed away from God. And because of that, the world is a dark place. But Jesus came to this world and he showed us the way to the Father and showed us the way how God intervenes in our lives and God helps in our infirmities and in our insecurities and how all things work together for good to those who love God. So this morning, life may be full of pain and you may be going through pain today, but at the same time, I'm here to remind you that God is good. God is good. God is good. God is very good. And God will come through. God will take that platform of pain and disappointment and will refine character and strengthen your life and will allow you to see that he will walk with you in the valley of the shadow of death. And one day, all of our pain and all of our sufferings will be gone forever. But there's another lesson that I need for you to consider with me. And it's also in the book of Genesis. And it has to do with God in charge of our lives. Even when we refuse God and buck God and get angry with God and complain to God and say, it's not right. It's not good. I've said it at times. If I will be God, I would do something completely different here. And aren't you thankful that none of us are God? God is in charge. But it's at the end of Jacob's life, something incredible happens. And it says, Joseph goes before Jacob and says, you know, Dad, I had two kids in Egypt, and I want you to bless them. I want them to be part of the inheritance. And this is something that we don't really know much in our society. It's something that's kind of foreign to us, but the impartation of the blessing was very significant, very important. And so he says, here is Manasseh and here's Ephraim. Manasseh is the oldest and Ephraim is the youngest. And so he brings Manasseh on his right side and Ephraim on the left side because, you know, one is older and the other one is younger. And all of a sudden, Jacob, instead of blessing the old one, the old eldest, he's going to bless the youngest. And so all of a sudden, you know, Joseph says, Dad, you're there. Huh? You're kind of blind because it says you couldn't see things very well. You're wrong. You got to bless this one, not the other one. You're confused, Dad. Let me help you. You need to lay your hands on Manasseh, who's the oldest, and he give him the higher blessing and the larger blessing. You're confused, Dad. And Joseph says, Jacob says, I'm not confused. I'm not confused. Well, Dad, no, that's not how it's done. No, what do you mean? Well, you're blessing the younger over the older. That's not how it's done. And from this passage of scripture, we draw a great great truth. It's called the cross arms approach to God. That God turns the world upside down in the order it thinks it needs to function. And the blessing went to the young one and not to the oldest. And it shook the entire Bible. All of a sudden, God says, it's not the way you think it should be, it's the way I know it should be. And in your life and in my life, we have a cross arms experience that all of a sudden we say, this is confusing. I mean, I believe in God. How can this be happening to me? In the world, first shall be first, and last shall be last. But in the economy of God, first is last, and last is first. So God takes your life, and the world looks at it and it says, ain't gonna work. And God says, whoops, it's gonna work. Because God is the one who chooses to bless and to strengthen. So God, over and over and over, God chooses to work with what the world considers to be weak and feeble and unimportant. Over and over, as you see the life of Jesus, who does Jesus work with? He works with the marginalized people. He does. He even worked with a prostitute. Forgave prostitutes. He spoke to one, and the disciples were, oh, what's he talking to that Samaritan woman? I wonder if something's going on. He chooses a tax collector, the pagans. He chooses women. He chooses children to be his disciples, to give them a place of honor. Nobody's in society becomes somebody in God's kingdom. Sometimes we go through things and we say, if I could only be a social insider. If I could only have that prestige. You don't need it with God. God knows where you are. And God has a plan for your life. And he's fulfilling the plan that you don't even know about. So Jesus rejects the social insiders and the morals and the religious. And to the point that Jesus himself gives up his life and is beaten and crucified and mocked and stoned and suffered and dies. The rejection of someone dying on the cross, cursed. God always puts his hands on the wrong son. God always does what we don't think he should do. God always turns your life upside down. He never misses. We want to correct God and say, hey, God, you got it wrong. He did not get it wrong. He did not get it wrong. I'm almost done with my message, believe it or not. So, Jacob tells Joseph to accept God's way in his life, to accept his grace and salvation. There are things in our life that we need to accept as God's way of dealing in our lives. It's not easy, because we've been taught victory in Jesus means free from problems. Are you? You're wrong. Victory in Jesus means you go through victory because there's a battle and you're going to win the battle. But there is no victory, there is no battle. And in the midst of the battle, you need to accept God's way, how he's walking you through the valley of the shadow of death, how he's causing you to live the existence you have today. And you ask yourself the question, Lord, I think, you know, Romans 8:28 for me is all things are against me. But when you consider what God is doing and how God works through history, you find that God is not against you. However, in Genesis 42, it was Jacob that said, 42:36, it says, everything is against me. That's what Jacob said. Everything is against me. There was a moment in his life, this patriarch, who said, everything is against me. And there are moments in our lives that we say, everything is against me. And you may be going through something in your life today and you say, ha, where is God? Qué silencio que hay aquí. Silent here. But we ask those questions. How many different ways we can assess that things are wrong? Well, to begin with, when I look at the mirror, I know something's wrong. Woke up from a nap, and I taught yesterday all day at the school. It was summer class, and I was tired, got home, nap, got up, and my head was standing up straight. You haven't seen that because I'll never let you see that. But when I get to see it, I go pray for her. So I looked in the mirror, and she was, oh, I said, oh, what a mess I am. And I had flashes of when I was 25 and 26. Some of you are there, you know, so enjoy it while it lasts. But this is how you wind up. Not very encouraging, is there? But what happens is that you say, where's God in my life? And like Jacob, we say, everything is against me. And there's physical pain, there's spiritual pain, there's social pain, there's this pain, there's that pain, there's the other pain. And we are classics in saying all things work together for evil. I think God is absent in my life. How can this be? How can this happen? Where is God in my life? God, where is God? God is absent. It's this is hurting. I think, God, you made up your mind to purge my sins through my experiences. And as a classic person one time told me, I must be paying for my sins. Jesus paid for your sins. But there is a revelation at the end of Jacob's life. I had not seen before this until last week. And I was amazed to discover how this man comes to the end of his life and he looks at his life. Perspective, you know. When we're down there, where is God? When you're up here, oh, look at God. And here he was. And here he was. And here he was. And here, that's exactly what Jacob discovered, that every step he took, there he was. I got to read you this text because it's Genesis 48:15. The verse 48:15 says, then he blessed Joseph and said, and this is after he does the cross arm blessing, says, then he blessed Joseph and said, may the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, listen to this, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. And yet he said, where's God? Everyone's against me. But the shepherd was there. So, you know, I've come to grips with the fact that it doesn't matter how I feel, what matters is what God's word says. And yes, there are times that we say, where is God in my life? He's right there. And the fact that you don't see him or discover him or even believe that he's there, he's still there. An old chorus we used to sing, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll see Jesus. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. There is a Jesus that never forsakes you, never leaves you. And though you may be in the valley of despair today, there will come a moment in your life as well as in Jacob's life where you will say, he was my shepherd. He shepherded my life. Every single day of your life, he's shepherding you and me. So I thank the Lord that God has been shepherding me all along. That God has been shepherding you all along. Not a single day has gone by without the Lord working with you. And he works, this is the thing, many times behind the scenes. Even when we don't believe it, he's working. So you may be in a rough spot this morning. You might be. You may be going through some difficulties. And why, you may not even be in church this morning. This may be caught some other time. Because we put these things in the internet. I don't know if you have the strength to see this, but you will hear the word that no matter what's going on in your life, God is shepherding it as you have given your heart to Jesus. And he's overseeing it. And there will come a moment when you will realize that God has been in charge all along. And he will make all things work together for you, for good, as he molds you and shapes you to become the person God intended for you to be forever. So, Lord, we thank you this Sunday morning because through the resurrection we can see new life coming to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've given us a victory over Satan, over the flesh, over the world. Lord, thank you that you've given us victory over every circumstance we have in life. Lord, we don't understand many times, if not all the times, why we go through what we go through. We don't understand it. But Lord, we do want to say to you today that we trust you. And that we know that all things will work out okay because, Lord, we love you. And the tribulations and the difficulties and the issues, Lord, you will adjust them. So thank you, Lord, for giving us perseverance. Thank you for giving us the strength. And Lord, though we may find ourselves in a situation where we can't no longer take it, let this moment be one that we turn things over to you again and say, Lord, you work it out because we know you will. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen. Shall we stand? And renew a right spirit within me. This you see, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. You're dismissed this Sunday morning.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the whole service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can visit our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.